Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
You know what that means, a hard cut by Ryan. It is the Mark Order Podcast. It is me, Ryan, joined by my co-host, Joe. How you doing, Joe?
Ryan, I'm doing well. Sorry I missed last week. I think last week was a heck of an episode.
Yeah, last week was awesome. And now Kate's missing this week. She's too cool for us. And apparently when other places call, she goes there instead of stays here. I don't know. It hurts.
How are you? I haven't seen you in a while.
I'm good. I was telling you before we started, I'm on my third straight week of feeling sick. So we'll see how this is going. I've gotten better, but it is lingering.
Cramps.
This is why I don't go out and see people, because then I can't get sick.
Oh, that's how you got sick.
No, I got sick from my nephews, but still.
Oh, see. Stupid kids.
Yeah. They're all healthy now, and I still have it.
Mm-hmm. Way to take me from the team.
Yeah, apparently. But, sometimes don't get to the pause quick enough to cough, I will say sorry. Hi, pieces in the chat. But, yeah. So, we're back. We'll make this a quick one because I'm not feeling too hot, and hopefully next week I finally feel better. I've been saying that for the last 2 weeks, so, you know, one of these days it'll be true. So we'll start with news of the week. There was no real news except that Jericho has his contract frozen, apparently. At least that's how it's being reported. That means he's not in the giant box that's coming in with WWE. Any thoughts?
You know, for a place that doesn't freeze people out, they do find ways to not put people on TV sometimes. I think this is kind of what we all kind of expected. And between him and other people who have not been on TV for long periods of time, whether it's Dan Housen or Britt Baker or whomever else. I don't know. I mean, I think we all know where Jericho is going to end up at.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say he's gone W. Maybe he could still be in the box if they know the timing of his contract. Scott's being nice to me. I must be sick.
Wow.
Yeah, but appreciate it, Scott. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe they know that his contract ends on like the 27th, even frozen. And then, I don't know. But his freezing's a little different because he takes time off to go like be with his band and stuff. Whereas I think like everyone else, like you said, they just don't use them.
Maybe Scott being nice to you because it's the start of Lent and maybe he gave up, being mean to you for 40 days.
Well, if he's like me every year growing up, that will not last.
That's fair.
See, he appreciates he's been sick too, same length. Yeah, man, there's something going around this year that just doesn't want to give up.
I'm going to knock on wood. All right. So
yeah, it's that's really the only news of the week, I think. I totally forgot. Scott passed the kidney stone. Sorry to keep on help, but I have to point out Scott passed the kidney stone. That's worse. As someone who I've done it, it sucks. I hope you're better, Scott. It is awful. It's great after. After you feel wonderful. But before and during, it's the worst thing in the world. There was one other minor piece, the Inspiration, I guess that's what they're called now. They were at the AEW house.
I might have lost audio for a minute. I lost your audio. I don't know why.
Nope, I accidentally hit mute.
I'm like, gosh.
Nope. But I was saying that, you know, they're a comedy tag team, but they're an established comedy tag team. And if AEW wants a women's tag division, then you need established teams. So that's a pretty good pickup for them.
Yeah, I think it's right time for them. Right time for them. I wanted to show up, you know, before they signed the TNA the first time around. But I think at that time when they signed the TNA, I don't know if they was as focused with the women's tag division at the time then. So I think now's the right time. And one thing I thought was an odd way of debuting them on their house show in Australia. I was expecting them to come out during random. But yeah, I'm looking forward to some of the fun matchups with them.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I thought that they would have come out in during Grand Slam, but I guess maybe there was no room for them or they didn't have a good plot. And I don't know. I'm with you. Grand Slam would have made more sense, but at least they got some pop in front of an Australian audience, being that they're both Australian and whatnot. Scott thinks that the Spirit Squad's in the box because that's how they got sent back to OVW. Listen, if this is a 20-year payoff, good for WWE. Oh. Now that is long-term storytelling.
Oh, Nick comes out, yeah.
But that is our news of the week. Let's get into this pretty fun Dynamite. It started with like some basic promos and everyone like, yeah, we're gonna do it, we're gonna kick butt, we're gonna win. Renee Paquette then previously interviewed Orange Cassidy, and he points out that Tomohiro Ishii is going to replace Roddy Strong in the tag match tonight against the War Dogs. So, hey, cool. And that's why you have a lot of members. So we move to John Moxley versus Mark Davis. This was a hoss match, I guess is the best way to say it. Like, just Moxley can wrestle big when he wants to wrestle big. He can wrestle a lot of different styles, but Mark Davis is a big boy, and he was going hit for hit, punch for punch, and it was wrestled as two big guys wrestling, but in a really good way, not in the slow padding way, but in the fun way. It was an eliminator match, so I wouldn't have been shocked if Mark Davis got some way to win, but he didn't. He lost via submission with a choke. Are you shocked that he lost? What do you think of the match?
No, I'm not. I think it played to what I thought the match would be. I thought, you know, first of all, I think keeping Mark Davis out front and center as a singles guy with Doyle out, I think that's a nice move to keep him front and center and top of mind instead of him being forgotten. I like the fact that more of these challengers to Moxley are taking him the distance, and it's not one-sided, like they're really pushing him. It took Moxley, you know, setting up Davis to do those lariats over and over again until he finally countered it into the blood kick. So I like that part in this evolution of making Mox more human, I guess, in the ring, where he's not invincible.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, but I'm with you. Keep Mark Davis in the front and center. It's not his fault that they they had bad luck, you know, with injuries, and just as things were, they were really catching on, because they were going to be a fun big boy team. So there's that. I don't even know if that's, there was a quick Hangman promo after, we don't really need to get into that. But then FTR gets in the ring and they have a promo basically poo-pooing the Young Bucks. And then Stokely gets on the mic, and it pisses him off that the Young Bucks shook hands with the Rascals at Private Party, because a year and a half ago, the Bucks tried to run Private Party out of the company. it's a nice little callback to Private Priority being gone, what they were doing before. It also keeps them in the story somehow, because every time you mention their name, it keeps them around. But as he's talking, the Young Bucks enter the ring and they super kick the Dax and Cash. Somehow Stokely doesn't notice right away, though. Like, he kind of sits there and he still talks. I'm like, how do you not hear the bodies hitting the ring? Like, those rings make sound. Like, you would know that. And you'd feel the shaking. But eventually he does notice. And guess what? He gets a super kick to the face. What do you think of it?
It was what it was. I think it wasn't anything special to me for the promo wise. I think what the interesting part I took away from it was them facing each other at Revolution in LA. I think people would think, oh, the Bucks are probably going to win this. However, I think the mention of Private Party combined with Private Party talking about how they want to kind of change the way they go about things, I think them coming back and costing the Bucks at Revolution to kind of, you know, change things up a little bit and not make it so predictable.
Yeah. Peace is saying Stoke is going to be in that wheelchair forever. Yeah, I mean, they keep hitting him down. I know how he's going to get out of it. Well, except for being kicked out of it, because apparently that's... He really... God damn it. Start to say something about... He really has been a great addition to FTR. I know we've said this a lot, but he's added a different flavor to their heelishness than typical incarnations of FTR heel.
Otherwise, you see a lot of Dax promo, because, you know, Cash doesn't talk as much as Dax does when they're doing promo, so it's nice to have a you know, some voices every now and then.
So now we move on to, there was a footage from Brody King and Bandido, like, kind of like feeling bad for how close they came to beating MJF. And let's just say some chants that were the cause of some controversy very clearly made their way across the airwaves. Then we have Marina Shafir versus Megan Bain versus Mina Shirakawa versus Willow Nightingale for the TBS Championship. And this earns my, this was a clusterfuck in the best way kind of statement. I mean, Jesus Christ, they were all over the place. They, you know, you're talking, moonsaults and power bombs, and it's hard. Like, everyone had a moment to shine. You know, no one looked out of place. Willow ended up winning by pinfall with a small package on, I believe, Mina, which, by the way, I think Mina's turning heel. That's what I get from this. Do you have any thoughts on the match and Mina? And then I'll probably have more to say, but.
No, I don't. I think a refresh for Mina going heel, I think that'd be good for her. With you, these four ways are always kind of a cluster, but I thought it was an effective four way. I liked that the crowd was so hot for it. Favorite part of the match really was seeing Marina and Bane going at it on the outside. I thought this kind of fail main match was one where I would almost like to see Marina win the title somehow. I feel like they keep trying to her up a little bit higher on the card and making her more of a focal point of the division. So I would like for her to eventually win a belt and for Will to eventually lose it or lose one of her belts that she has. But yeah, that's the only thing I took away from this four-way.
Yeah, that's... So I think the reason I think Mina is turning heel is before the match, she kind of had like a promo that wasn't heelish, but just the way, like, a little more aggressive from her than she typically gets, a little less playful. And then for her to take the pin, and she didn't seem happy about taking the pin, which obviously you shouldn't be, but I just feel like there's something, she's doing nothing right now, essentially. So as you said, it would be a character revamp for her to lose the belt. And I think it's a needed character revamp personally. She's a lot of fun. I like her, but she probably would be a very fun heel in a way that they don't really have at the moment. I think she'd be a heel closer to how Mariah was a heel than how anyone else. I could be wrong, but that's just my humblest of humble opinions. In the chat, we're getting a question from Big G. What belt does Willow lose first? Pieces thinks it's the tag belt. What do you think, Joe?
I agree. I think the tag belt makes the most sense. Her and Harley were thrown together, kind of in a weird scene. It got over. They had their moments. But I would like them to drop into maybe a more team or a tag, a team that should really be focused on the tag team division only.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's going to be the tag belt. I want it to be the tag belt because I don't see her losing the TBS and then solely focusing her time on the tag division, whereas I could see her losing the tag and someone else. So that's, I don't know who I want to win it at this point, but whoever wins it, get the no singles. Whoever wins it, stay away. Like, that's why the inspiration would be perfect. Come and win it. Because you know they're only going to focus on the tag titles. Like, stay away from the singles, because that's what's killing it. It's every fucking time they do this with the trios, and now they're doing it with the women's tag. Every time someone gets a belt, it's like, well, here's this other one. It's like, no, that's not fun. It just kills the importance of the one. You know, I wanted the women's tag belts as much as anyone. I just want them to be used properly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was excited when Willow and Harley won them, because I thought Willow was nowhere near TBS title at that point. So in my head, I'm thinking to myself, okay, they'll focus on the tags. This will be what we want. This is great, grand, wonderful. And then it was the exact opposite. They immediately, almost immediately after she won the tag belt, they're like, here's a single so you can be distracted.
Yeah.
Pieces wants the Brawling Birds to win. Listen, they would be fun so long as they stay on the singles, the tag path. That's all I care about. We had a nice moment after the match where commentary eulogized the Kerwin, what is it, Silphies? I can't say his last name. He was a WWE, like, TV guy, and I just thought it was really nice that someone who's never worked for AEW, they gave him a nice moment. That's just a class act, and I like when things like that happen. We have that the Hangman Adam Page and MJF stare down or talk to or yell at or face to face. MJF came out, and I actually liked the way his promo started. I don't like you. I don't like how you walk. I don't like how you talk. I don't like how you dress. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I like that. It was a little bit of fire from MJF, not his typical, like, these people suck. And he essentially says that Hangman got lucky. And Hangman's like, how did I get lucky? I beat you twice. You're the one who got lucky, because blah, blah, blah. You know, he went through the whole story. And they had a lot of back and forth. The one thing I don't understand is they went to the stipulation at the end of the match, at the end of the promo. And Hangman says, if you agree to my stipulation, which is going to be Texas Deathmatch, I promise to put up I will never, if I lose, I will never go for the title again. He Cody stipulates himself, basically. He Cody's himself. I'll never go for the world title if he loses, so long as Maddox agrees to Texas Deathmatch. I hate this stipulation completely. I think it's the stupidest fucking thing in the world. Because either you're, like, I pray to God you're just giving away that Hangman's going to win, because do not Cody him. That was terrible for Cody. Or... also, but if you're hanging, why do you care that much if it's Texas Death? You already have your match. Like, why? Well, why? What are you thinking here, Joe, on everything?
First of all, let me start off with Max's promo about his 10 things I hate about Hangman, which I really thought we were going that direction with. I hate the way, I don't hate you at all. I hate the way you stare. Your stupid hair, all that stuff.
I don't hate you at all.
No. it's an interesting, I thought the promo was kind of fun and interesting because they both operate on their own securities. Like, you know, we've always had MJF being insecure about not being the main character, and you have Heyman's insecurities about, you know, not always living up to the moment. So I think that's kind of fun. I'm with you on Heyman Cody stuff. I don't see how that's going to work out well. I don't see him winning the title at Revolution. I think you don't have Max drop the belt yet. You don't have him lose on his birthday. And then, you know, if Heyman loses, then I don't know what you do with him for X amount of time. And eventually he's being in the world title picture. If not now, but, you know, a year from now or something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't. So Big G is saying, oh, it's as long as MJF agrees to the stipulation. I know that, but like, why do you care for that stipulation that much? I just don't understand, like, why Hangman needs Texas Death so much to feel like he needs to beat MJF. Now, I got a question for you. Would it be really funny for MJF to say no? To hype it up as if this is going to be the big stipulation MJF going to?
It would be. But yeah, again, I don't see how MJF loses after, you know, being 0-2 against Heyman.
Yeah. So you think Hangman just has no title shots ever again?
I hope not. I mean, they have to figure a way to work around it if that happens. I guess we'll have to follow this week.
I mean, though, it could be a huge I don't want to say this. Part of a Hangman's turn, if they ever want to turn him again, if he's like, nah, screw it, I'm going for the title.
True.
It's the thing Cody wouldn't do. And everybody's like, well, turn heel and then you can go for the title because you're a heel now. Who cares that you stipulated that you no longer have honor? But if he's like,
yeah, I can see that happening, especially if someone like Kenny or someone had a title at the time.
Unrelated, completely unrelated. Are you a hockey fan?
Not diehard fan. I observe. I'm here.
Do you know what happens if a regular season game goes into overtime, how it's played?
Hopefully not like hockey, the Olympic rules.
It's 3-on-3 if it goes into overtime. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, the reason I ask you this, and I don't care that you know this or not, that's why I'm only seeing Jeremy of In the Weeds, Jeremy Lambert, great guy, posting the ones yelling at Skip Bayless, because Skip Bayless tweeted, USA beat Sweden in Olympic hockey. You know, 3-on-3 is much more fun to watch. More open ice, more 1-on-1 shots on goal, less lucky bounce, high traffic goals in front of the net. Listening, NHL. The NHL has had this for 10 years. I mean, you can't have 3-on-3 all the time. That's not fun hockey. But, oh my God, what an idiot. Sorry, I know that's totally out of left field, but I just was...
I thought you were going to somehow weave this back into a...
No. I just was very...
Well, this is what happens when you have casuals who have to still have a hot take, say something out loud, and prove them that they don't watch the product.
Ain't that the truth? But yeah, I just Skip Bayless is the worst, but. But yeah, big pieces pointing out, Big G pointing out, MJF just wanted it to be a regular match. That's fine, but why is Hangman so against that? Why is Hangman risking future title shots against a known cheater, a guy who could weasel his way out of this because you need a Texas death match so much? Like, it just...
I like when...
I,
He's from Virginia, and they're going to be fighting in L.A. Why do we have such a death?
Yeah, I like, I like smart faces, and this was just a very dumb move.
Yeah, the Heyman's an emotional face.
Yeah, fair enough. And yes, I'm agreeing with the chat. Whether War Pieces and Scott are both insulting Skip Bales, you have my support. Death Riders cut a promo. Yuta was wearing like a hat and a hood, so we couldn't get to see his bald head, which I was really looking forward to. If he had any courage, he would just have the long hair in the back, like the old Hogan style, like the horseshoe. Moxley calls the Death Riders coyotes, not wolves, because coyotes don't need work or some bullshit. I don't know. They challenge the Callis family, and the Callis family agrees later on in the show to a match at a collision. During that Callis family segment, Okada takes another shot at Takeshita, and then Andrade cuts a promo. I mean, none of it really that big, but the Okada Takeshita stuff, they're pulling. Looks like they're going. They're going a little harder at it. I like it.
I just want the match. I don't know. I'm tired of this. It's just like slow play. I want the match, and then I want to know what happens with Saul and where he falls into this.
You're right. Just get to it at this point. We move on to War Dogs versus the
Conglomeration.
Thank you. I could not stop that cough from coming out. Hold on. War Dogs versus the
the conglomeration were just, yeah.
I don't know what's going on. Jeez, I wasn't coughing this bad earlier. What the hell? Hold on, I got one more piece of candy in front of me. Let's see if this helps. Ooh, a piece of candy. So it's War Dogs versus the conglomeration, which is Orange Cassidy versus Ishii. War Dogs being Clark Connors and Gabe Kidd. Clark Connors, who I think is signed with AEW, but they haven't said it yet. Gabe Kidd, who's on whatever weird deal he has with AEW. Back and forth match, but then at one point it looks like, as Scott pointed out earlier, that Ishii hurt his hip or back, though I can't tell if that was real or just part of the match because they went right into wrestling after it. But Ishii is also tough enough that he's not going to stay down for that, so like, whatever. Then at some point in the match, Darby Allin grabs Gabe Kidd and like pulls him in the back like he did with Clark Connors last week. I like this little thing of like he takes him away, he beats him up, he walks. Like it's a fun gimmick they're doing. Like I don't want to see much more. You've gotten each guy now. Like, okay.
It's kind of cartoonish to me, but
yeah. You've done it twice, you get two. That's all you need. Well, this ended up helping the conglomeration win with the vertical drop brainbuster by Ishii on Connors. Fairly average match. What do you think?
Yeah, it was fine. It's good to see Ishii in the ring. If he got hurt, I'm surprised that they didn't find a way to tag out and have Orange, finish the match. But yeah, otherwise, it felt very much like a New Japan match with Ishii and Game Kid and Clark Connors. But yeah, it was fine. I don't know. I'm trying to confuse this War Dogs and Darby thing. Does Darby get someone else to help him face even numbers or not?
Yeah, but who?
I know, but I mean, I just want to try to figure out who would help him.
I guess maybe someone from the conglomeration would. I mean, it feels like he's helped them out now, and I could see Orange Cassidy helping him out. Just a thought. I don't know. That's a tough one. You're right. But Darby's not one to ask for help either, though. I don't know. That's a good question. I know I have to think about it. I'm going to call. We're going to have to move quickly because this is getting worse. We had a hook promo basically saying while Samoa Joe's hurt, he's in charge of the ops. Shibata's recruiting in Japan, Hooker's recruiting here. I liked the promo. It was pretty quick and easy.
Yeah, it's a different style of promo for Hook. There's a lot more talking than he usually does from where I've seen him. Question is, if you're recruiting, you had a whole dojo. None of those guys are good enough to be called up?
Apparently not. They need a new dojo. We did see the day.
The loss of Hobbs. Like, oh, yeah, the other disappeared.
Well, yeah, they don't acknowledge that.
No.
We then move on to, I think this is the wrestling debut of the Brawling Birds, Alex Windsor and Jamie Hayter versus Becca and Viva Van in a very back and forth match, which I was glad to see because I like both Becca and Viva Van. Becca's a lot of fun. They got to let her character come out a little bit, and she's got a lot of it. But Brawling Birds look good. This was a good match, and I think Viva Van and Becca should be on the radar for AEW. What do you think?
So I like Becca and Viva Van. I don't like the fact that I want this to be the classic squash match. Like, you have the Brawling Birds, and you try to introduce them as a powerhouse tag team. I want them to dominate whoever they're facing my way. I know that's kind of an old booking trope, but that's what I wanted. I thought Becca and Viva Van got a lot of offense in there tonight, which surprised me. But my only minor gripe was just they got too much offense in.
Yeah, that's fair. For a debuting team, I agree. Like you're showing off the Brawling Birds. They probably should have won more. But this is the second week in a row, though. Second match in a row, I should say, for Viva Van, where they let her have a lot. So I think she even had a promo package like one of her last match. So I think she's taking a step up. We go to the back. Renee Paquette is with PCS Kings Viva signed. I know she's with ROH. I don't know if like she's got the AEW full thing. Her contract's probably one of those weird ones. But we go to the back. We have Renee Paquette interviewing Statlander and Thunder Rosa. Statlander is not cleared. She just wants to, but that's okay. She just wants to fight Tekla. But Rosa did get cleared, and she is going to fight Tekla. So good for Rosa to finally come back. She's been hurt for a while.
Yeah, I'm hoping that she can stay healthy, though. She seems to have bad luck sometimes.
Yeah, agreed. Then we have the Beast Mortis versus Kevin Knight in a fun as fuck match. That's the way I'll describe it. Some really cool off the ring dives, just splash. These two went at it, and Kevin Knight wins with the UFO splash. Anything to say? I just thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, really fun. Mortis can use a guy, and for him, it was a good match with Kevin Knight and what he can do. I like the fact that he's pushing Knight as a singles guy. I think he is definitely like kind of the breakout star between him and Bailey, their tag team. So I'm hoping that they will eventually drop these trio titles, perhaps as early as this weekend. So, you know, Heyman can do his thing, and maybe Kevin Knight can focus on singles gold. Yeah, I'm hoping they get the trio championships to the demand.
Yeah, that agreed. So then we move on. There's some promos I'm skipping over. We move on to Kenny Omega versus Swerve. This was fucking insane. They were all over the place. Multiple finishers hit and kicked out of, just move after move. There was a ref bump where Swerve was leaning against the ropes. Aubrey went to check him out as Kenny's going in for the V trigger. And then Swerve pulls Aubrey in the way. So she gets the bump. Shane threw Kenny into a turnbuckle It was just crazy. But Swerve ended up winning with the big pressure. And then after the match, Swerve just beat the hell out of Omega. He took a chain wrap, tossed him over the, choked him by over the ropes. Then he threw him through a table. Was dead eye on the steps, then through the announce desk. What did you think of the match, and then what did you think of the after?
The match had no right being on Dynamite. It felt like a pay-per-view main event. I liked how fast and vicious it felt early on. They made it feel really personal for being kind of a relatively short-milled. Kenny Snapdragon, especially on the edge of the ring there, was nasty to me. And I liked how Kenny was the aggressor for the first half of the match, and then kind of woke up on the latter half and got a little bit more vicious after the ref bump. And I don't blame Swerve. Kenny questioned him. Kenny wanted this version of Swerve to come back, and he proved why he's one of the most dangerous men in AEW.
Mess with the bull, you're gonna get the horns.
I think Roosh has that phrase.
Oh, he should have that phrase. But yeah, I'm with you. This was a pay-per-view caliber main event. Fucking incredible. And then this is exactly what Kenny asked for. He said, Swerve, I don't believe you're that guy anymore. And Swerve said, okay, I'll show you I'm that guy. And then showed him he was that guy.
Part to me was a clean win after the ref. Because usually after the ref bump, you expect shenanigans.
I expect the Swerve to win dirty.
Yeah, but him winning clean was perfect.
A lot of fun. Well, that's our show tonight. This was a quick one because, as you guys have heard, I am just losing my ability to talk without coughing. I am literally struggling right now, like I'm fighting back the desire to cough. Joe, when you're not here, where can you be found?
Not coughing, but you can find me on social media at _AsianJoe. I still do a story review blog sometimes. I haven't found any fun serials lately, but you can go read my old ones. A link from that is in my bio if you haven't checked it out. Ryan, when you're not coughing, you're probably spinning up some history facts, right?
That's true. So I'm also on our socials at Mark Order Pod, and then follow my history YouTube blog on YouTube at Here for History, at _ Here for History on Twitter, at Here for History other places. I haven't done one in a couple weeks. This is why, because every time I try to record, I cough after a few seconds, and I'm not doing that much editing. It's not my skill, and I'm coughing every 30 seconds. So that's where I'm at. I appreciate your guys' patience with me. I wanted to, instead of skipping the show, I wanted to do one tonight just so that we could get one done. I'm hoping next week I feel a lot better, or Kate's around, and then that way you guys can have a real show without me coughing. But that's it. So with that, I'm going to put up our outro and then hit outro.